welcome to 216, the Link to the Past Randomizer Podcast. I am your host, Fear Agent. Today on the show, we've got Darity Peels. No offense to anyone that's been on the show in the past. Maybe my favorite conversation that I've had with anyone. Let's just say we talk a lot of football. So, really fun conversation with Darity. We'll get to that soon. The main tournament is all wrapped up now. Winner of the main tournament, Kanan's Gone Wild. What a run. Dude won league with his team, OK Dudes, Hitsu, and Telethar. Then wins the latter Kaz Boots Invitational Tournament, then follows it up with a huge performance in the main tournament. He goes 2-0 against PH, 2-0 against Hayfield Bay, 2-0 against Telethar, 2-0 against CS Tutor, 2-0 against 2C Plus, and 2-0 against Lin Lin Lin. Like, what a run. Incredible. I mean, three big tournaments back to back to back is so impressive. I'm looking at past results from just the main tournament. Now, Willer J. Bradley has a pretty cool spreadsheet that has most of the information you'd want from the main tournament and the league. And just trying to like put into perspective this run that GGW's had. There's not many runners that have had this sort of run. Looking at the 2017 spring tournament, that was won by Ajneb, or Ben. He beat Christos Owen. This is back when the main tournament wasn't the main tournament. It was just the tournament. It was the spring tournament. That was 2017. 2017 fall tournament, also won by Ajneb. Ben goes back to back in the spring and in the fall. Brando is still pretty brand new. 2018 spring, Andy wins over Christos Owen. 2018 fall, Andy wins over Thalane. So you'd say the 2017 spring, 2017 fall, and then 2018 spring and 2018 fall wins by Andy and Ajneb are unmatched. And I think you can include GGW in that with the league win and then the ladder win and then the main tournament win. The 2019 main tournament, Jet beat Act Boker. There was no 2020 main tournament. That was when the league ran for two seasons. And Dante beat Gamachu on a really impressive run. And then last year, Obscure had the run and he beat Schulzer in the finals. So I don't think we've really seen anything like this since Andy went back to back in the spring and the fall in 2018. Super impressive. I've been on vacation. I haven't had a chance to talk to GGW, and we just had him on the show just a couple of weeks ago where he talked about his run. I'll see about maybe getting like a mini episode with him or something. Maybe just talk about the tournament runs. And I know he's going to take a break, but just a huge run from GGW. And I don't want to take away anything from Lin Lin Lin. You know, I've been a big Lin 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 fan since I've been a part of the community. One of my favorite original teams from the league is the Last Locationers with Goomba, Illis, and Lin. Always rooting for them. Big fan of the Last Locationers. Big fan of Illis and Lin and Goomba. Really cool to see Lin, who's not playing as much as he used to, have a really excellent run and just came up against a juggernaut that is GGW. Lin's run, also super impressive. 2-1 against Hitman. 2-1 against Spleeby. He 2-0'd Kaide Rakawa. Went to game 3 against RD Walsh. And game 3 against Schulzer and won all those. So yeah, nice wins. Pretty exciting conclusion to the main tournament. It's always fun when we have a new champion, as we've had for the last 4 years. I know that the Challenge Cup is in the finals. Kaysden versus Alex Jass. I think game 1 happened and Alex Jass won. I'm not sure about game 2. The last announcement in the Challenge Cup was May 20th when the group stage was completed. So I don't know. I don't think it's over yet, but I could be wrong. I'm not sure. Bunch of other tournaments going on. I think they announced the league is coming in September. That'll be cool. I think that's it for tournament stuff. I might have mentioned this last week, but I asked for people's top 5 summer songs. Everyone's delivered. 20 different people have given me their top 5. We have 99 songs. There was one crossover, Sum 41's Fat Lip of all songs. In the announcements channel of the Discord, 216pod.com has the link to the Discord. Check it out. I've got a Apple Music and Spotify playlist with everyone's summer songs. It's fire. It's super fire. And there's still time to contribute. So if you want to get your 5 songs in on the playlist, just post them in the podcast channel and I'll add them to the playlists. So much good music. And there's a lot of stuff that I've never heard before, which makes it so much better. I think what I love about it is everyone's take on what qualifies as summer music. Like, you say summer music and it means something different to everyone in the community. And I love that. I do wish there was a little bit more hip hop, but maybe we'll get there. I think with how successful this is, I'm going to try to do it with other themes. Maybe I'll try to find a different theme for everyone, and we can put some more playlists together. But man, this playlist, it's got 99 songs on it. It's banging, banging. I was on vacation, sitting by the campfire, had the playlist going, and it's so good. It's so good. So check that out. And again, there's still time to participate. Summer's not over. I think that's all I got. Rando keeps randoing. So keep on randoing. So I got 5 more episodes in this season, finish up season number 4. And then I'm going to jump into season number 5. And I think those will start coming out in August. And I've already got people lined up. But as we hit season 5, I think I'd like to bring someone back and catch up with them. Over 58 different people that I've talked to by the time season 4 has ended. So my question to you, the listening audience, is who should I bring back? Who's the one person that you would like to hear more from that we had on the show? Is it Gamachu? I feel like Gamma and I could just talk forever, so that might be a possibility. I know Andy and I barely got through 2018. Maybe have him back. Claremouse, one of the top 3 most downloaded episodes. Do we want to hear more from Claremouse? You know, a lot of people, and I know there's still a lot of people still to have on the show, but I think it'd be cool to have a revisit with someone that's been on the show. So let me know in the Discord or send me a message or whatever and tell me who you think should be the first returning guest. I think it'd be fun to do that every 50-ish episodes or so. Maybe it's Darity. Let me tell you, I had so much fun talking with Darity. She is today's guest. She's a quiet member of the community. She's not trying to be a big streamer. She's not trying to be the top runner. She's just here because it's fun and she's having fun and there's cool people to hang out with. So I wasn't sure if I was even going to be able to get her on the show. And she kind of avoided it for a little bit. I didn't strong arm her too much, but she agreed. And I was so glad that she did. And then I took a break and I had to reconvince her to come back and do the show again. And I'm glad she did. Like, legit, I had so much fun in this conversation. I think it will show. We talk about her history outside of gaming. We talk a lot about football and the league that she plays. Super cool. Just a super fun conversation that I had so much fun with. I'm so glad she came on the show. So let's get to it. Here's Darity Bills. All right, Darity, thanks so much for coming on the show. I'm super excited to talk to you and kind of learn more about you. I feel like you know, we did fantasy football last year, and I feel like I found your stream through Amerith and Oro, but you're so like chill and you're into sports, and that's, I'm drawn to those people that are one into sports and two that are super chill. So thanks for doing this.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Looking forward to chatting with you.
So we'll get to like Link to the Past randomizer and stuff, but I think the most important question is why the Lions?
Okay. That was a little heavy. So both of my parents were born and raised in Michigan. I wasn't born there, but I lived there for a part of my childhood, and just kind of growing up, you know, with my dad always rooting for the Lions. And it always seemed like, even when we lived in Michigan, we lived in Southwest Michigan, so it was like more Bears country. So it was even more rare that we got to watch Lions games. So I just, you know, just remember him, like when they were on TV, it was like a big deal. You know, finally we moved to Colorado and we could get like DirecTV and the Sunday Ticket and watch them all the time. So it's just fun to root for I guess my dad's home team. And yeah, you know, I carried that with me and keep that fandom going.
Sure. So you're in Colorado now. You're in Broncos country. Let's ride.
Yeah, exactly.
but you carry
Let's
on.
Let's hide.
You carry on the Lions legacy. I don't know how old you are, and I don't want to out you, but like, were you rooting for the Lions when like they had Barry Sanders, or is it later than that? Megatron days?
I'm going to be, 35 next month. So I definitely remember Barry Sanders. I think my dad had a Barry Sanders jersey, but I was, you know, preteen. Yeah. So I definitely remember it. And he's the legacy there, but not like super well. I couldn't tell you about, you know, this amazing play that he had and against the Bears and like only what they show on NFL Network. Like,
sure.
But right. Megatron, like for sure. Like when he was playing, we'd lived in Colorado, we had Sunday Ticket. And so I definitely remember watching him play and cheering him on.
So football We'll get to randomizer, but we're going to talk a little bit more.
Yeah, because, who cares about Zelda, whatever.
Right. Because you actually play football in an all-female league, right?
I do, yes.
I watched the short, was it a news thing? I can't remember.
It wasn't worth watching. That was disappointing.
It was cool. I don't know what you're talking about. It was interesting to hear about the league and the stuff that's going on. So can you tell me a little bit about how that started or how you got into even playing football?
Yeah. So I play in the Women's National Football Conference, which is the WNFC. Kind of just random how I found it. I used to do CrossFit a lot. Mm. And so if you know anybody who's done it, you know, that was my shout out because we always have to mention that we did it. And I was just looking, you know, I grew up playing sports and, you know, I'd done CrossFit for a while and was just kind of thinking about wanting to do a team sport. And it honestly just kind of fell in my lap. I was just scrolling through Denver's subreddit and somebody mentioned something about a local WNFC team, the Denver Bandits, and tryouts were coming up like around the time I was looking. And so I went, and that was back in 2019. It's been great, you know, because watching football NFL casually as somebody who's never played it and then like actually getting in the sport and learning about it, I feel like it has really just changed the way that I watch the game, you know, and understand the game. Like it's been a really fun ride so far.
That's awesome. I totally relate to that because my dad tried to get me to watch football when I was a kid, but I wasn't really playing football. We'd play like out back and toss the football around a little bit, but like the idea of like organized football like really bored me as a kid. Sure. And then I played it in high school and I was like, holy crap, I have a whole new appreciation for this. And then I got really into the NFL as well.
Yeah. I mean, you start just watching more than the football, you know, and you pay attention to blocking and what people are doing and coverages. There's so much to it. It's such a fun, exciting game.
So you didn't play in high school. This was your first time playing actual football, tackle football?
Yes. Yeah. Started from ground zero. You know, I think in women's football, you know, a lot of us, you know, it's still an evolving sport, like flag is coming around. But so many women like have never played before. So it's a lot of teaching, learning the game. You know, every season pretty much starts from ground zero because you have new players that haven't played before. So, you know, that level will keep progressing as flag comes in to play more, you know, so women grow up playing the sport just like boys do. Right. And we'll see kind of the level of our game increase to that. But that's not to say, I mean, we're still out there. We're hitting, breaking bones. I mean, we're out there. So
what positions do you play?
So I play left tackle.
Okay.
Yeah, so I started on the team as right tackle, and they moved me over pretty quickly into my first season. So I've been there ever since. Two-time All-Pro for the league. So last year, what's today? June 19th, this Sunday, or I guess this weekend, I'm going to Dallas for All-Pro again.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so the championship game is on Sunday the 25th, and we have our little All-Pro game before that.
Gosh, left tackle is such a tough position too.
Yeah, I love it though. There's a lot going on. There's a lot to keep track of. It's, I think, kind of behind the center of the offensive line. Like you really have to know what's going on and have good vision, see what's happening. You know, and just protecting that quarterback.
That's the big one. Is the entire offensive line is obviously protecting the quarterback, but the left tackle is usually the most important because you're most of the time protecting the blind side. And that's really cool. And you're doing the All Pro stuff. That's awesome.
Yeah. So
did you know that you'd want to do like be on the line, or did you know what position you were going to want to play when you got into it?
No, definitely not. And especially like only knowing football as a casual observer, you know, I think like a lot of people, you go to try out and it's like, oh, maybe I'll be a tight end or a linebacker, just kind of some of those like more
flashy.
Yeah, exactly. You actually see.
Yeah, no one's going to talk about the left tackle. Right. As much as you're like really into it, people don't get excited to watch the lineman, right?
Like, yeah, definitely not.
The offensive line. And, but they're so important, you know?
Yeah, And they see me, you know, and they're like, oh, you're like 6 feet tall and like 230 pounds. You've got this big wingspan. Like, no, you're going to play tackle. And I had no idea about like O-line or positions, but I mean, I love it. It's fun. It's aggressive, you know, knocking people down and getting pancakes. It's,
yes.
It feels great.
Yeah. In high school, I was an offensive guard. So okay, I was nice. Pretty small for an offensive guard, but gosh, just bowling people over. It was just,
it's so fun.
It's so much fun. Like you can't even explain it. Like, you know, because again, it's not about the showmanship of it. It's not like you're scoring the touchdowns, you're making the big catches, but you're the reason why a lot of those plays can happen. I don't know. It's cool.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, it still feels good, even without the credit. And I think our team tries to do a good job. I think overall, we have a pretty good O-line. I don't think our quarterback got sacked at all this year. Wow. Yeah. And, you know, we never like get credit from the league about that. But I think our team does a good job of recognizing, and especially our quarterback. She's like, I love you guys. You guys are awesome.
Yeah. Never getting sacked. That's so awesome. How long are the seasons?
So it's 6 games. So like our team, we start practices in January. We do 3 practices a week. And then starting in April, really through, I think, last weekend was the championships for each conference. So it's about 2-ish months, 6 games spread over 2 months. Each team wow. gets 2 byes. Yeah, I wish it could be more. I think a lot of people do, but you see, I think in women's sports, at least in this context, you know, a lot of us have jobs and families yeah. and et cetera. Yep. So it's, you see the burnout even start to happen, you know, kind of through the season. Practice attendance starts to dip. And I think that's across all teams. So it's just, it's hard to sustain more than a 6-game season, regular season.
Sure. Women's football is definitely up and coming, right? Like I know my high school now has like a women's flag team. And they just met with the Seahawks and stuff. I saw that was pretty neat and had like the players, but it's cool to see women's sports branch out into stuff that they haven't participated in the past.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think flag is a big starting point for that because it is more accessible. It's not the hitting, sure. You know, you can do it at the high school level. So you see a lot of high school girls like signing up for it. It's really expanding. And I think a lot of people don't even know that tackle exists. So that's always fun when you mention like, oh yeah, I play for a women's tackle team. And they're like, what? There's women's tackle football? Like, how do I watch that? Where is that?
Right. And breaking out of the idea of like having to do like bikini tackle football. Right. Lingerie, you know what I mean? Like, yes. It could actually just be the real sport, and you don't have to try to use like sex to sell it.
Totally.
It's such a relief.
Yeah, I think our league owner, there's a couple of leagues. So like I said, I play in the WNFC. There's another league called the WFA, the Women's Football Alliance. And I know that our league owner is really trying to make the WNFC like the NFL version. So we've... Like I've seen spots on like Good Morning Football, like they've had our league owner on there and like talked about our league. DeAndre Hopkins, his sister played in the WNFC for a while. So she just started a team in Houston that DeAndre is like a part owner of. So like, you know, it's getting some publicity through there. I think there's a YouTuber, AJ Green. He's really big on the league and like follows around the Dallas team. It's starting to get there, which is really exciting to just be a part of it. You know, even if it's not there by the time I retire, whenever that is, just playing a part of it and, you know, being included in that journey. It's been really great so far.
Yeah. I mean, like the NFL is obviously huge, right? Like, but it took a long time to get there. Like it doesn't happen overnight, and women do have to fight an even bigger uphill battle, unfortunately, but it's getting there. And I think that's what's awesome.
I even think about like the WNBA. I remember when that started like in the 90s. And I think it's just like just now to the point where I'm like starting to see games on CBS, like in the middle of the day yesterday. I'm like, oh, there's WNBA on like 20 years later. How about that?
Yeah. The Seattle Storm are huge here, especially
30 years later.
We don't have the Sonics, but in the Seattle absence Storm, of the Sonics, the Storm have just taken over and
Sue Bird and
some of the best NBA WNBA players ever have played in Seattle. So it's been pretty, really cool. Are you worried? Here's a quick, kind of an offbeat question, but are you worried about all the hitting? Because I mean, like tackle football for kids has changed a little bit. Like, they're slowing it down because of like the brain stuff. Like, I don't even know if I want my kids to play tackle football until they get into at least high school, just because of the, you know, like brain development and stuff. Are you, do you worry at all about like all the hitting that you do and stuff?
Sometimes. And it's funny, my wife, like when I told her, like, I think I'm going to sign up and play football, she was so scared and she was really not a fan of it. But then of course the season starts and, you know, she's like got a totally replica jersey with my name on it and like number one fan. But no, I do. I think at least, you know, even what I see from our level is clean as you want to teach, like how to hit, how to tackle, you know, how to get low, but keep your head up. Like, like there's still like natural things that happen. And we still, you know, we come across players from other team, like leading with their helmet and it's like, oh, you're going to break your neck. I think it's sometimes it's just hard to avoid, like no matter how well they try to coach you to do it right. Like sometimes you just do what you do. Especially when you haven't been doing it for that long. So I think I do worry. I think I have taken some shots to the head where I'm like, I don't know if I feel 100% after that, but I'm not coming out of this game. Like, let's go next trip.
You're the problem, Derek.
Yeah, 100%.
It's those players that are like, oh, don't get taken out. And you're like, oh, you gotta take care of yourself. Yeah.
Oh, no. I tore my foot in a game last year and I played the whole game and played another game two later. Like I'm not coming out. Like, yeah, I'm absolutely the problem. Make me come out. No, but I do worry about it. And I don't know if it's something that they can, that will truly ever go away.
I mean, the game is violent, right? Like the game, there's a violence to it that's innate. I think it's the extra dangers of like keeping players in when they shouldn't be in sort of thing, right? Like it's how do we get those players like you to come out of the game when you're actually hurt and can hurt yourself even more.
Totally. And I don't know. I think it's just that competitive nature and the drive. And I think every team, maybe not at the NFL level, but you know, they have those people that are like, oh, I'm hurt, take me out. Like, I just want to hang out on the sideline and watch. Yeah. I did my job. Thank you.
Yep.
But I think there's so many more of us. It's like, no, I'm here. I'm going to play. I don't care if I'm hurt. Like, yes, you're going to have to take me out on a stretcher to get me off of this field.
passion. I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Where does video games kind of fall in all of this? Did you grow up playing a lot of video games?
I think so. Yeah. So when I was like really young, we had a Super Nintendo. So I remember like, especially like watching my mother play, like we had Link to the Past. So I remember, I had a little plastic ocarina, like a little blue one. I remember, I love that thing. And like, I have vivid memories of like her being in Swamp Palace, you know, and trying to figure out the puzzle in there. like some Final Fantasy games. I played like Mario Kart with my brother a lot, you know, Super Mario World. We got a PlayStation. Same thing, more Final Fantasy games. I'd say it was a fair part of my childhood, but I also did have sports. You know, I grew up playing basketball and softball too. And I was a band kid.
Do you find time for video games all of that? That's the question, right? Like if it feels like you had lots of hobbies, not just growing up on video games then.
Yeah, definitely. So it was there, but I'd say if you see me or watch me or hear me play now, I think it shows that it was probably a casual part of how I grew up, because I think I still treat it that way.
So the video game stuff was more casual, and then the sports stuff was where you got your competition fix then, right?
Yeah, and band even. As I got older, like, yes, band kind of took over from sports, and that especially. Like, I have a music degree, a French horn player. That's where that competitive itch took over from sports. Now I'm gonna be the best French horn player. I'm gonna be better than all of you.
Okay. How do you compete? Is it for different chairs? Is it for different spots in different orchestras or bands or whatnot, or what, where's the competition come?
Yeah, I think in college, certainly it was like being principal, you know, being first chair of everything, like being the best, getting the solos, you know, having a private lesson was part of my degree that you get a grade in. So like being the best French horn studio student and, you know, my professor, like, making it known to me that, like, I was his favorite because I did practice and I, you know, all that stuff. So, yeah, I think that the competition there, you know, holding on to that top spot and not letting it go. Yeah, just trying to be the best.
What was it about the French horn that got you?
You know, it's not even what I wanted to play. When I was in fifth grade, we had to do music aptitude tests. And I heard later on that I got like the highest score on that test, which I didn't know. So then we come in to try out different instruments and I wanted to play clarinet because that's like what everybody in my family played. And I could not make a sound on it. Like no matter what, I could not do it. And so then the teacher's like, here, try this thing. And she puts a horn, like a French horn in my hands and I was able to do it. So like looking back on it now, I think maybe that was like evil genius teacher. Like I'm going to sabotage this clarinet because I want her to play this instrument. She could probably actually do it. It's one of the harder ones. So that's nice. I don't know. I guess it chose me. I didn't really choose it, but I liked it. So.
Yeah. It seems like you're a very determined person. Like it feels like, was this how you approached everything that you did, including like sports and video games, or was the video games still more of just let's have fun?
I think that's hard to say. I think the majority of my video game playing is like, let's have fun. I think innately, I'm probably just not as good at video games as I am like athletic or music things. I think I can accept that and I can live with that. Sure. So I'm not going to try to force the issue. Like, you know, there's some people that will even pick up Link to the Past, a randomizer, you know, play it for a few months and already be better than I am having played for years. And I'm okay right. with that.
Like, sure.
Some people just got it. And that's great.
And you have it for the French horn and for football. Yeah, right.
Exactly.
So as far as gaming goes, you said you had the PlayStation. Did it continue on as you got older? Did you stay with certain video games, or were you just too busy between all the things that you were doing to really like have a console to like, or even a computer to like be playing a lot of video games?
I remember we got a PS2. I don't even remember why. I remember like my mother was really into video games too. And she went down like the WoW path for a while even.
Saw her again.
Basically, she would invite like people over to her house that she met and like her clans. I don't know. I've never played WoW. But I'm just like, who are these strangers in our house right now? Okay. Y'all are really sitting at the table playing WoW. Okay. So I assume that the reason we got a PlayStation 2 is because of her. There's probably a game that she wanted to play. I really did like a lot of the Final Fantasy games by a lot. I just mean 7 and 8. Those are really the only ones I've played. And Kingdom Hearts, I remember that. Guitar Hero.
Where was Zelda in all of this?
Non-existent. I've really only ever played Link to the Past. I've never played any other Zelda game. I don't really have an interest in playing any other Zelda game. Wow. I know it's blasphemy.
No, I mean it's totally. I love this. You're the first person I've had on the show that doesn't have a huge like Zelda history and has their parents played more games than they were as they grew up. I love that.
Yeah, I don't know. I got an Xbox at one point. I really liked playing GTA 4 and 5. So now we still have an Xbox One. That's like our primary. Like I play games through Xbox. Like we watch our TV through Xbox, sure. through Hulu.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense.
So that's like our hub. But yeah, now I like, I don't know, I guess they're available on both platforms, but yeah, I like, I don't know, like I said, GTA, RDR2, Assassin's Creed. I like those games. Just kind of like the long exploratory, no hurry, just kind of do what you want.
So it's always been more of a leisure activity than like, I'm going to get competitive into any of these things. I'm going to find games that I can just kind of chill out with and take my time with. Right.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, I have a day where I don't have to do anything. Maybe I'll just sit here and play this game for 12 hours and not realize it's been that long. Just kind of, get lost in it and then like back to life. Mm-hmm. And someday I'll sit down and have another 12 hours to just do nothing but
right.
play.
So it's an escape, right? Like it's allows you just to get away from whatever it is that can, you know, you enjoy but can cause you stress, right? Like we all have those things that.
Yeah, it's like. Today I have time to do nothing and I'm literally going to do nothing except for zombie out. And it's great.
Does your wife play games with you?
No. I'm trying to think. She plays games on her phone. I don't even know what she plays. But Xbox games or like console games, I'd say not as much. What's that? Was it Animal Farm? No, not Animal Farm. It's the Switch game.
Animal Crossing?
Yeah, that one. She likes to play that.
Sure. That's like, the word game is so loose with that one. Because,
I don't know anything about it.
It's just like you're creating houses and you're, you know, making stuff. And it's more creative outlets than it is. I love it. I played a lot of it, but
like I always just hear the voices like
so good. So where do you find like streaming and Twitch?
Well, I think when I discovered Twitch, whenever that was, it must have been 2017 or 2018. You know, the first thing was like, oh, I wonder if people play the games that I grew up playing, right? So, you know, the first thing I do is like plug in Link to the Past and all these other games. I'm like, oh my gosh, people actually do play this game. Like, let me click on this stream real fast. And I think it was Andy, because it's just like whoever had the most viewers at the time at the top. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was doing some rando thing. And I was like enthralled, like, what is going on here? So started watching it from there. I can get into more detail or not, but long story short is, you know, eventually I years later started doing it on my own, and streaming is required for racing. So I think if it wasn't, then there's like no way ever that I would have started streaming.
I think that's a very common story. I don't think a lot of people really enjoy streaming or want to be streamers. It's just required for racing. So you got to learn how to do it
for proof. Yep.
Yep. So you start watching Andy. Do you decide I want to pick this up, or are you just watching for a while?
So, I mean, I wouldn't even say I watch Andy regularly. Like, take seriously. That, Andy. Yeah, exactly. Booyah. He doesn't even know who I am. No, I really just like it. He would just happen to be streaming when I search Zelda. But I do think around that time or shortly after, must have been when that big 2018 main tournament was going on. So, you know, I started seeing races, which was very interesting to me because like, wow, not only is this game randomized, but people actually compete at it and race each other. Mm-hmm. So it got to the point where, I would listen to races while I was at work. So really not even watching a whole lot of rando, but I was so enthralled by it. I don't know. It's just so fascinating, people racing this game. So I would just listen to it, you know, while I was at work, and especially with that tournament, how large it was, there was always races on. And I like to put together like jigsaw puzzles. So then I would like get home from work and just put together 1,000-piece puzzles and listen to more races. So, gosh, that tournament went on forever. So that was a great, great fix for me because it was just like nonstop content and like VODs to go back and listen to races. Like, I didn't know who anybody was. I didn't really care. I was just like, I'll just listen to it. And from that, I discovered that actually Tracy M was a commentator that I would hear and come up, and I found her to be like the most enjoyable commentator. Like just the way that, you know, she describes gameplay and just talks through it. It's like, it's not memey. It's just, it's really informative, especially as somebody who doesn't really know the game. Just her style of comms. I really enjoyed it. So then it was to the point where I would just seek out VODs only or only listen to races that she was comming because it's kind of like a lot of other people. I just didn't want to listen to it. I just didn't find it enjoyable to listen to.
Yeah.
So, gosh, after that, you know what? The main tournament was over. I think League had started and she was doing some comms for that. So it was, League was like overwhelming for somebody that doesn't know what's going on with this community. That was a lot. But again, just listening to races that she would commentate. And finally, by the end of 2019, I'd been listening to this game being played for like a year. And I was ready, like, okay, I don't know much about technology and computers, but I'm going to see if I can figure out how to make this work and play a rando on my own. and yeah, I did.
So hold on, before we get to that, you spent almost a year just listening, not even really watching races, just listening to races.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Okay. So, and it wasn't any of the racers specifically that you followed. It was mostly Tracy M, or did you kind of branch out to other commentators as well?
I want to say mostly Tracy M. I don't know that for a fact. I don't quite remember. You know, certainly like if I was at work and, you know, I always like to have background noise, like even to this day, like something in my ears while I'm working. So certainly she would be the first name that I would seek out for like comms to listen to. But I would be certain that if she hadn't commentated or done anything, I would just pick something random and listen to it.
Okay.
So.
Do you feel like you were learning a lot listening to specifically Tracy? I mean, she's one of the best. There's no question about it. And she brings a lot of information. That's not, what's the word? It's not like it's overwhelming. It's very natural. Very
accessible. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess so. I think you learn more by watching, which I realized once I started playing. Like, yeah. I mean, I would get to a point in Rando where I'd be like, oh, I'm in Ice Palace. I actually don't know how to route this. So I'm just going to turn the game off. And next time I hear a race when they're in Ice Palace, I'm going to try to watch and see how they route this. You know, like, so like, yes, I learned, but no.
I love that. I love that you didn't just, I don't know how to write Ice Palace. Let me go look up how to route Ice Palace. Let me just wait until I find
That's too much work. That's no.
That's so good. I love that.
It's like, I'll just call it. And next time I play, maybe I'll know how to do it.
So how long are you playing then on your own? Just learning how to play the game?
So I think I started in like December of 2019. And then what? So that was also in line with when I was starting football. So I was doing it kind of casually and really just having a blast, like offline downloading seeds. Like it was the greatest thing ever that it was so easy to actually play Rando. And I thought it was going to be this complicated process to even have the option to play. And it wasn't.
Right.
So then that's COVID happened.
That's what makes the game great, right? Is the accessibility, like even more so than some of the other randomizers, is Link to the Past is pretty straightforward.
It's and very easy to get. Yeah.
A lot of resources too.
Yeah. So easy. Even I can do it.
exactly.
So gosh. And then COVID happened. So then everything was canceled. And then I was kind of like in my mind, like still so having so much fun with Rando and learning it and just like figuring out like how to even get through a seed all the way through. Cause like, okay, I figured out how to write Ice Palace. How do I route Mire? I don't know. So March, everything is canceled. And then I just had like nothing but time to devote to this game that I was enjoying so much. And through actually Tracy M's stream, I learned about the mentor tournament, which she also signed up for in that year. So I signed up for it. I think that's how I discovered like Discord was a thing. And yeah, just kind of went from there, played more and more and more ladder.
So you weren't watching Twitch really before Link to the Past Randomizer. Were you watching even like Let's Plays or speedruns or any of that stuff? Was that any of that on your...
Watching people play video games was not on my radar at all in any way, shape, or form. Sure. So no.
Yeah. Because I'm always curious about how people find it. I feel like as the kids grow up, it's going to be very common, right? Like it's not even going to be a question that I would ask like someone that's going to be like my kid when he's 20 years old. He's grown up watching people play video games. Like that's just the norm. But people our age, whenever you mention like you watch people, like I'll say to my parents or something like, oh, I watched someone play a video game or a speedrun. They're like, what? You watch someone play a video game? It's just so foreign.
Yeah.
For people of our generation. But it's much more common now. So it makes sense. I try to understand how people get into it because unless you're young, it's foreign.
Yeah. I mean, my assumption from what I don't really remember, but I think it's right, is I'm sure that somebody like on my Facebook feed, like posted a link like, hey, watch me play Twitch. And I think like Twitch was a name I had heard, but wasn't really familiar with. And I think I was just bored at home and I was like, all right, what is this Twitch thing? Like, what is this? Oh, it's like video games, people watching video games. And then, like I said, it was like, oh, I wonder if people play the games that I used to play growing up. And so it just kind of evolved naturally from there. Mm-hmm. But I really, I don't know. That was, gosh. So like I said, that was like probably 2017, 2018. So I'd assume by now I would have heard of it. I think it's so much bigger than it was back then.
Sure. Yeah. It's definitely blown up.
So yeah, I don't know when I would have stumbled upon it, but I'm pretty sure just one of my little Facebook friends was streaming. And
so yeah. When you start racing, was race time there, or did you have to sign up for like IRC and SRL stuff?
So I think with the mentor tournament, when I signed up for it, that must have been like April, May of 2020. That was like right at the very beginning of race time.
Oh, okay. So
I didn't ever have to sign up for the SRL. Other thing. SRL. Yeah.
Oh, I would have loved to hear this story.
I don't think I would have been able to figure it out. Based on what I know about it and what I know about myself, I don't, that may have been a big barrier for Darity.
For sure. When you talk about barriers of entry, that was definitely one for a lot of people. Unless you grew up using IRC, which I did not do. Definitely, it took me a while to get into it. Figure out how does this thing work. Race time makes things so much easier. So you join the Go Mode Mentor Tournament, right?
Yes.
This is in the middle of the pandemic.
Yes.
How was your experience with that?
It was great. It was. I mean, I couldn't have asked for anything better. What? So I had also, ladder was fairly new. So I had signed up for that probably a month or so before the mentor tournament began. I remember doing my first ladder race. I think it was an open mode and I was up against Tepidino, and it took me like 2 hours and 40 plus minutes to beat an open seed. Sure. So I mean, just the mentor tournament just kind of falling into my lap when it did. It was great. I got so much out of it. Tyler Salt, shout out to him, was my mentor for most of it. I got some tips from Tepidino as well. Yeah, that definitely took me from a 2 hour and 40 minute open time to, you know, being able to consistently sub two seeds and go from there 3 years later. So
Did you find yourself enjoying like the community? Was there people in the mentor tournament, you mentioned, you know, like Tyler Salt and stuff, that made you feel like it's more than just like, hey, we're playing rando, like you could be a part of this?
I would say yes. I think so. For me in general, I'm more of an introverted person, and I think you probably see that. I think a lot of people have probably maybe seen my name around, but I don't interact a whole lot. I'm definitely more of like a background person.
I'm surprised this to getting you on the show was a challenge presented to me. Like, can I get Darity on the show? I was like, I'm going to do it because I really want to talk to her. So I get it. I get it. We're not all out.
Right. I'm not the person to jump in a conversation about rando or anything else and just like share my two cents. So I would say yes, that community was there. I saw it in like, you know, 40 bonks that CJ made. Like, you know, I was invited to that right away. And, you know, I'm still in that community and, you know, participate in the Asyncs when I can. I mean, like Oro, you know, started hanging out in my streams and chatting with me through the mentor tournament. So yeah, definitely, it's a really nice community. And even for little old me who tries not to participate, there's still friendly enough folks that like get me in some spots.
So. Right. So you're not looking for people to hang out with, but you play the game and you start to find people that are, you know, pretty cool, like Oro. Yeah,
absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. And like 2C is another person through actually League a couple of seasons ago. I remember he just popped in and he was like, oh, hey, we're in the same conference. And I'm just like saying hey to people, and because he's like the nicest guy ever.
He really
and so,
is. Yeah.
And so he's somebody that will still like just pop in regularly and we'll talk about sports, football, basketball. It was nice when we were doing fantasy football together, like just chatting about that. So, yeah, I think it's a natural thing that happens is. Yes, from watching people race, you get to know them and yep.
Sure. Season 3 of the league, you join the open league with All I Want for Christmas is My Two Good Bees.
Yeah. Sure did. Can
you tell me a little bit about how that came about?
DFS, Drunk Future Self, is another person that's probably people are fairly familiar with in the community, friendly guy hopping around. So he wanted to participate and he just asked me to be on his team. And I said yes. So that's how that came about.
Well, okay. So how was your experience that first season?
I think it was really fun. None of us, who's the other one? Grim?
Yeah.
I've like literally not seen around since then. I don't think any of us took it too seriously. So like, especially at that time, we were just like hanging around and like voice chats and goofing around and playing seeds. It was a really fun experience. Cause I don't think any of us went into it expecting to do better than we did.
Yeah. So you guys went 4-10. You had fun, right? Like, I mean, we put so much weight on records and stuff, but I mean, the biggest thing is, did you enjoy yourself? Right. Like, I feel like, especially with the league, is did you find people that you could have fun playing the game with?
Yeah, definitely. It was a good experience. And I think, remembering back that far, I'm sure there were modes like that I was not comfortable with or willing to do. So it was nice. It is nice in the league setting to have like teammates. Usually there's somebody on your team who's like, oh, I love this goofy, silly mode. I want to play all of them. It's like, great. Have fun. Give me Kaz boots, please. Thanks.
For sure. So did you enter tournaments after this? Did you start to do the tournament grind? Did you get caught up, especially in 2020, right? It feels like we were doing was playing random.
Gosh, I don't even remember. I think I've done a little bit of like main tournament quals. I know I did the Challenge Cup 1 year, but honestly, I don't even know if I've ever done enough qualifiers. Like, even if I had been good enough to actually make the main tournament, I don't know if I've ever done all of them. I didn't do a single one this year. But usually like the smaller tournaments, like, you know, the 80 keys tournament, cross keys, I've really gotten into over the last year. So like I signed up for that last year and doing that again this year. League is one that I've done more than once. I don't know if there's really any others other than Challenge Cup, which I've only done the one time.
What do you feel like your relationship to racing is? Like, do you feel like you're more of a person that just wants to do ladder and kind of keep it casual? Because as we talked about earlier, you know, video games are, it feels like more casual for you than the stuff that you take a little bit more serious. Is that safe to say?
Yeah. Yeah. I think so. Really, I guess playing rando, like I would not have enough motivation to just like pull up a random seed and play it on my own without a timer and without the ability to compare how I did with somebody else. So it's like, even though I don't take it that seriously, I'm still not motivated to play it unless I'm competing in some way. Kind of funny. Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know. Like with the tournaments, I guess it's a way to play the game and still be able to compare myself with others or have that competition. But yeah, I definitely don't necessarily care about the outcome. I don't ever expect to win. Mm-hmm.
As far as winning goes, season 4 of the league, you joined up with Amerithan Oro, right? How did that kind of happen? That you joined Zelda and Chill and almost make the invitation.
Oh my gosh. I know it. Hobo Jim was on their team the season prior. I think he needed to step back. Like I mentioned, Oro had been kind of hanging out in my streams for a while. We met through the mentor tournament. And so they had the opening and Oro asked if I would take it. And I had a great time with Bees, but it seemed, especially still being in COVID and still having so much of my time to dedicate to this activity and get better at it, it was the perfect opportunity. Like, yes, I would love to join this team and like see what we can do. And I think all three of us were taking it, you know, pretty seriously. You know, we practiced a lot, and I didn't want to let them down because it's just like, oh my gosh, this is Oro and Amerith. Like, they're like two amazing superstars. Like, you know, they're basically celebrities. I think most people in this community, I think of them as celebrities. Like, if I know who they are. Yeah, I mean, I took it really seriously. I think we all kind of grinded a lot and practiced a lot. And I think we had a lot of things go our way. You know, we got lucky in a lot of situations. And yeah, we made it pretty far. It was really exciting.
I mean, gosh, you guys went all the way to, where was it? You guys lost to JKO LOL in the conference semifinals. But what a season, right? Like, there was a pretty big season. Oro looks like they had went 8-3.
Crushed
it. And carried
Yes. You know, their love for Swordless, I mean, they were really able to just use that to their advantage, which is good for them. I hate Swordless.
So, yeah.
I'll never play it.
Totally. So. What were some of your favorite modes that you've played in during the league? Do you enjoy the co-op stuff?
Yeah, co-op is really fun. It's, you know, the entrance, that was a really unique, and gosh, if I remember, was League like one of the first, if not the first, to really introduce like co-op entrance?
Yeah.
That was so much fun, to get in voice and like figure out, okay, let's coordinate. How are we going to track this? How are we going to keep track of stuff? That was a lot of fun. And then, you know, just like the AD stuff, I feel like you see the community. I don't know. It's just fun to see like all the voice chats taking place of people practicing and co-ops. Like, you just can't not love like being in voice with your buds. Mm-hmm. Just kind of like goofing around. You can laugh and have a good time. It just, sometimes it takes the weight off of racing, especially if you are taking it seriously, because you can kind of just take your mind off of what you're doing and still like chat with your partner or have that dialogue with your partner.
Did you, going into season 5, want to be invited into the Invitational?
No. Me personally, no. Yeah. I think, you know, by that time, life was getting back to normal and, having less time available for Rando and knowing that, like, I hadn't been playing it as much. I don't think Oro had really been playing it as much. I think, like, really after, what was that, season 4? I think Oro kind of stopped playing the game for the most mm-hmm. part, all together. Like I said, I was dropping off. So, like, absolutely, I didn't want to be in the Invitational because I kind of knew where we were all at as individuals. Mm-hmm.
Is Zelda and Chill coming back for whenever they announce season 6?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, no.
No, I think, like I said, Oro hasn't really been playing. I think it kind of showed last season. Like I said, I've kind of dropped off a little bit. Like, mm-hmm. like last season, I don't think the three of us like really practiced at all. It was just kind of like, oh, my race is today. Wish me luck. Like, oh, I lost. Sorry. Good luck next week. You know, and it's just So I think Oro mentioned the other day that they weren't planning on coming back. And, you know, I responded and said, yeah, I was kind of thinking about stepping back too. So Amerith is free, which is good. I think I definitely felt bad, like not sandbagging, but she deserves more. She deserves partners that are like,
right. That want to be in it. Sure. Yeah, for sure. It's all about finding people that are kind of aligned with what you want, your goal. Like, you want to have the same goals, right? Like,
definitely.
If one person is hyper competitive and wants to be the best and you're just there to like have fun regardless of the results, you might not be the best teammates because you're trying to get something out of it that the other one's not.
Yeah.
Are you open to joining new teams? Can we put that out there? Are you a free agent or do you feel like you like where you're at?
I don't know. As of today, I'd say I'm really not interested.
Right. I mean, the league hasn't even announced it. We're late middle of June, right? Like, we don't even know when the league is going to be.
So maybe, in a few months, right? Like, after this weekend, I'm totally done with football, basically, until January. So, yeah, maybe in a couple of months, like, when I really don't have anything going on, I'll be like, yeah, I want to do Rando. You know, I'm back into it, you know, full steam. But, as of right now, just keep it casual, maybe with some ladder and random daily races. Like, I don't know.
Sure. All right. So are you happy with where you're at as far as Rando goes, both in like your skill and as much as you're racing and like the community of people that you're around?
Yeah, I'd say so. You know, it's a fine line because I'm not willing to practice, right? Like, this is so casual. I enjoy just kind of getting better naturally through playing and just time. But I don't practice. I don't really watch anybody or watch anything. So I know that.
Listening to Tracy M stream still?
I don't listen to anything.
No.
I'm basically back to not knowing that Twitch exists. Yeah. Sure. So I think I'm happy with it. Finally being willing to play Entrance last year has opened up a lot of things. That mode is really fun. Mm. And I've found like learning how to better route entrance modes has kind of just naturally made my routing better in non-entrance modes.
Mm. That makes sense.
So I kind of feel that natural progression through that anyway. I think I'm happy with where I'm at. It's nothing too serious. I would say that I don't feel like it's consuming. I generally don't ever sign up for anything expecting to win or thinking I'm going to win. It's nice if I do, but it's not necessarily why I play. I don't play to win. I just play because it's fun. But again, just like that small competition, I like to compare how I did to how others do. Whether I win or not, it's still just kind of liking to know where I measure up with the decisions that I made.
I'm so jealous because you're able to take different parts of your life and keep them separate. Like you're able to be competitive, but not be overly competitive in something like Rando, right? Because we've talked about with music or with football or the other sports that you play, like you're way more competitive, but you don't have to bring it into everything.
Yeah. And I'll also, like I said, like knowing that when it comes to video games, that's never really going to be my thing.
Because you are good. I mean, like, I don't want to.
I'm okay. I'm not that good.
You're winning races. I mean, you're not bad, right? Like, so the opposite of bad is good. You are a good runner. You don't feel like you inspire fear in anyone that you're gonna race?
Absolutely not. Definitely not. I think I'm like, that's a gimme, and I'm okay with that.
I don't think people think of you as a gimme. I would never consider you a gimme.
No, I'm probably that, like, that really honestly scary matchup, because I'm okay. Like, usually when I get lucky, it's because I made a good routing choice. I think a lot of people will have execution on me, which is fine, because again, I'm never going to open up the prac hack and like practice bosses. I'm just not going to do it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I get lucky with the route. So I guess, maybe with those race time points, I'm kind of in that scary 1800 point range where it's like I could lose to anybody, but I also have the ability to maybe beat anybody on any given day with some luck.
Yeah.
So maybe that's like an element of more fear, I guess. I don't know.
Sure. And do you find that the cross keys kind of scratches that puzzle itch? Like, are you still doing puzzles and stuff? Or has that gone away too?
I think it definitely scratches that itch. I have a couple thousand piece puzzles that I haven't opened up yet. So every once in a while, like once a year, I'll bust out a puzzle, and I'll spend a week putting it together, like after work. But no, for the most part, I think Rando really does scratch that puzzle itch for me. And in particular, like Entrance, at least for now, I'm still finding super enjoyable. Maybe someday Doors will be what scratches that itch for me. But as of right now, that's not even trying.
Sure. That makes sense. So I'm going to ask you the tilt question, but I mean, we might have to ask you about a different aspect of your life that you might get tilted in. Like, if you get, you miss your block, do you get tilted when you miss a block in football? You don't miss blocks.
That's not what I was going to say. I definitely miss blocks, but I was going to say, I don't think you'd be surprised to hear that I am the epitome of being able to forget about that play and just move on to the next one. And I really like in huddles try to preach that, like, don't worry about it. Like, next play, next play, next play. Like, don't let that consume you. Just next play, next play. I miss blocks, but it doesn't get to me.
I'm sure. I mean, that's how you're successful, especially in sports, is you throw an interception. You can't go back out there thinking about that interception, right?
Definitely
not. You miss a block, you can't go back and just think about, oh my gosh, I can't miss the next one. You just got to kind of forget it. So how does that translate to Rando? Or do you even get tilted when you play Rando?
I think I do get tilted sometimes. It's almost never about like winning or losing. It is sometimes just about like, I guess, like basic execution or like, Sometimes, you know, you just get like a really sloggy seed where it feels like you've made every single wrong decision and it's just dragging out, you know, so much longer than it needed to. Sometimes I guess I get a little tilted in those moments because it's just like, okay, I'm done playing. I don't want to play this anymore. And like those are the moments, you know, when I'm in ladder, like, okay, I'm going to turn on this ping. And, you know, as soon as my opponent finishes, like, I don't even want to finish this out. Mm-hmm. But then I get to GT and I'm like, well, they haven't finished. I'll turn this ping off. Like, so, I mean, it happens, but I would say not a whole lot. Again, it's just that mindset. I'm going in expecting to lose. I don't care about winning per se. I know I don't practice the game, so I can only be so mad about myself, about my performance of something I'm not willing to put extra time into. Mm-hmm.
If you do get tilted, how do you handle it then? Like, what do you do? Do you, because when you're playing sports, I feel like there's the next play, right? You have the next play. You don't necessarily have that same thing in rando, right? Yeah. Like it's just a continuous play.
Yeah, it's definitely much easier in a lot of cases to have a short memory in sports. So I think I, especially like once a race ends, right, and I know I've lost by X amount of time, I like to like talk through and analyze, especially the time difference, like what could they have done that I didn't do, or what do I think I should have done? I think sometimes even just like talking through my decision making, and sometimes, you know, I'm saying like, well, I stand by what I did, even though it wasn't the right thing. Mm-hmm. So just kind of processing, I guess, out loud to my stream of nobody. That
that's
helps.
Not true. We there's people that come and hang out.
Oh, of course. I'm just kidding. I think, you know, time heals all wounds to an extent. So it's usually if I do get tilted, it's really probably, gosh, not for that long, maybe an hour tops. You know, I've stepped away. I'm watching TV. I'm doing whatever. And it's like, it's just rando. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
But most of the time it's like 5 to 10 minutes. By the time I've ended my stream, I've talked through my decisions, my thoughts, and I'm cool with it. Or even like I said, if I'm tilted in the middle of a seed, usually it's like ladder. I'll turn on pings and I'm like, I'm ready to quit as soon as they finish. But if I get to GT and they haven't finished yet, then I'm like, oh, okay, maybe this isn't as bad as I thought. I'll turn off the ping, and then the tilt's gone from there. Like, it's like, okay, we both struggled. So right. It just depends.
Yeah, I get it. I think the last question I have for you is, who's going to be your number one pick in fantasy football this year?
Oh my gosh, I don't know. You know, I was in your league, and I was in another league that I paid to be in, and I actually won that league. Nice. So I literally have the first pick this season. Oh, I do not know. I've been kind of halfway thinking about it. I don't know if I want to take a running back or a receiver. That's the worst answer ever, is literally, I don't know.
Sure. It's still early, right? Like, we got to wait for training camp and all that kind of stuff. But I hadn't played fantasy football in a long time, and coming back and playing with the 216 league was a lot of fun. Even though there wasn't really anything on the line, I still had, I had a lot of fun with it.
I agree. It was so much fun. And that auction draft, that was the first time I'd ever done one of those. And that was so cool. That was a great time.
Yeah, the auction draft was so much fun because it added so much more pressure, because it felt like most of us had never done it before. So we were all learning. And I think, you know, like watching Shireen run out of money within like the first like 2 minutes, and just have to like wait the entire time to spend his last like $6 was great.
Yeah, that was a good time. Well, glad I got to participate in that. It was fun.
Yeah, I hope we can run it back. Thank you so much for doing the show. I'm so glad to do this.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me. This is a lot of fun. Like I said, I was nervous, I was scared, I was dodging, but yeah, it was great. So thank you.
Big shout out to Darity for coming on the show. So glad she did. I had so much fun, and I'm going to destroy her in our fantasy league this year. So take that, Darity. Coming for you. I just love when we get different perspectives on the game from different people that aren't just so race focused, that aren't just like, I gotta be the best runner in the community. She's just having fun. I love that. I just really enjoy that. I loved hearing her perspective. So let me know what you thought of the episode in the Discord. Again, 216pod.com has a link to the Discord. Give me your top 5 summer songs. We can add it to the playlist. And who would you like to see return to the show in season 5? Next week on the show, we're going to have Ninjembro. I think it's the longest conversation that I've had with anyone on the podcast, homeboy can talk, and it's great. I love it. I loved talking to Ninjembro, and I think you'll enjoy it too. So come back for that. His league teammate, Maniacal, just had an episode on the spoiler log with Dante, and I think that was probably his longest episode too. So apparently, the bottles on empty guys are chatters. It's a fun one. I had a lot of fun talking with Jimbro. So make sure you come back next week for that. Subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. We're on all platforms. 216pod.com is the website. And again, it has the links to the Discord, the best way to contact me. If you've got Apple Podcasts, please leave a review. Really helps the show out. Again, huge congrats to GGW for taking the main tournament and just proving to be the best runner in the community in the last 6 months. Dude's amazing. All right, I think that's going to do it. Thank you all for listening. Super appreciate it. See you back next week.